Or who smarted? Hey, Smarty Pants. Hey there. Trusty narrator here at my local track and field, getting some exercise. I just finished one lap. Hey, Smarty Pants, if my goal was to run a mile, how many laps would I have to run around the track? Is it A, 2, B, 4, or C, 8? If you said B, 4 laps around the track, you're right. A standard racing track, like the kind you'll find at most high schools or colleges, is 400 meters, or a quarter of a mile. And since 1 mile is 1,600 meters, or 4 quarter miles, it takes 4 laps around the track to reach 1 mile. That means I still need to run 3 more laps. I can do it. Mind over matter. No pain, no gain. Never say never. Other motivational cliches. Ooh, is that the ice cream truck? No, must stay focused. Ooh, I wonder if they have SpongeBob. Oh, maybe I'll take a quick ice cream break.
Hey there. I couldn't help but overhear you. Sounds like you could use some help with your training.
I probably can. Also, who are you?
The name's Atlas.
Nice to meet you, Atlas. Wait, Atlas? As in the Greek god who was forced to carry the weight of the heavens on his back as punishment for going into battle against Zeus? That Atlas?
That's me. And if you don't mind, let's not mention that whole battle against Zeus stuff. In fact, I'd prefer we don't even say his name. It's bad publicity for my personal training business.
Wait, you're a personal trainer now?
Well, yeah. I mean, after that whole thing I don't want to talk about against the guy whose name I won't mention, I had to do something. The one positive thing about holding up the heavens 24/7 is I got pretty shredded.
Shredded?
Ripped.
Ripped?
You know, muscular. Look at me. I've got the perfect gym body.
Sure, if you're going for that superhero look.
Anyway, I'm here to help you get shredded, ripped, and muscular just like me, trusty narrator.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Also, how do you know who I am?
Oh, well, just standing there holding up the heavens can get pretty boring. So I put on Who Smarted one day and listened to hundreds of episodes. I loved them all, except the one on Greek gods, which is all about he who shall not be named.
You mean Zeus?
You just had to say it. Anyway, as a superfan, I'm prepared to offer you a mighty discount on my services. I promise by the time I'm done with you, you'll be ready to compete in the Olympics.
The Olympics? Yeah, I don't think I have the skill set for any Olympic events, but I could stand to get in better shape.
Great. We'll just get you into the best shape. Olympic shape.
No Olympics. But speaking of the Olympics, didn't you have something to do with starting them?
No, that was that guy I don't want to talk about.
Oh, you mean Zeus?
Yes, but I was there too.
Say, Atlas, I have an idea. How about instead of working out, you can help me and the Smarty Pants learn more about the Olympics? Like, how did the Olympics start? How are the Olympics related to Greek mythology? What events are in the Olympics? And what do the Olympic rings mean?
Fine, on one condition. You don't mention Zeus's name. Now I've said it. And when we're done, you'll run more laps.
It's a deal. Get ready for another whiff of science and history on...
Who smarted? Who smarted? Who's smart? Is it you? Is it me? Is it science or history? Listen up, everyone. We make smarting lots of fun on Who's Smarted.
Welcome back, Smarty Pants. I'm here with the Greek god of astronomy, bearer of the heavens on his back, Atlas.
That's right. I'm here to get you pumped up on knowledge about the Olympics. And then we hit the weights.
If there's time. Anyway, Atlas, how and why exactly did the Olympics start?
Well, I could tell you, or I could show you.
Whoa! Where are we, Atlas?
Olympia, Greece. 776 BC, the birthplace of the Olympics.
True or false, Smarty Pants? Olympia is located in southern Greece. If you said true, you're right.
Olympia is a site in southern Greece where people went to worship their gods. The Olympics were created in honor of ancient Greece's most famous god, he who shall not be named.
You mean Zeus?
Don't say it.
Smarty Pants, you know who I mean. It starts with Z and rhymes with moose.
As I was saying, athletes prayed to the king of the gods for victory and left gifts to thank him for their successes. Worshipping him was one of the few things the ancient Greeks all agreed on. Back then, Greece was divided into different city-states or settlements, and the Greeks were often at war with each other. But even in times of unrest, dueling city-states would declare a truce so their star athletes could take part in the Olympics. But unlike today's games, only men were allowed to compete originally.
Well, it's good that they changed that, or else the world wouldn't know about so many amazing female Olympic athletes like Simone Biles or Nadia Comaneci or Jackie Joyner-Kersee.
There was also one other big difference about the early Olympic Games, and I'll warn you, it's a little strange.
Let me guess, they didn't wear sneakers.
No, they didn't wear clothes. The first Olympics were all nude.
Oh boy, moving on. So, why exactly did these athletes compete? What did they win?
Well, aside from the crowns of olive tree branches, which were the equivalent to the gold medals of today, to put it simply, bragging rights for their home countries. Olympic athletes then, much like today, were revered by their people. They were given great monetary awards if they won, and never had to pay for a meal for the rest of their lives.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
On top of that, since the Olympics were a time of peace, it allowed the leaders of different areas that were typically at war to come together and have civilized discussions about political matters. It's believed these discussions helped resolve many conflicts that would have otherwise led to war.
Oh, that's cool. It's much better to go head-to-head on the playing field than the battlefield.
Exactly.
So, Atlas, how many events were in the Olympics?
Ooh, good question, trusty narrator. And one that has a two-part answer. For the first 12 ancient Olympic Games, the only event was a short foot race of about 190 meters, or one length of the stadium, which was called a stade.
One event? That's pretty uneventful.
Yes, definitely not a weeks-long extravaganza like today's Olympics. But after those first dozen, things changed quickly. The Olympic Games expanded from one day to five, and a total of 18 events were added. The earliest additions were more running events of different lengths, wrestling, the pentathlon, boxing, and for the wealthiest competitors, chariot racing.
I know what running, wrestling, boxing, and chariot racing are, but what's the pentathlon?
The ancient pentathlon included five different events. The discus, long jump, javelin, more running, and more wrestling. There were also some equestrian or horse events. Among them was one known as the Kalpe, where the rider would jump off their horse and run alongside them for the last lap of the race.
Interesting. How did they decide what competitions should be an Olympic event? Like, why the discus? Or the javelin?
Great question, trusty. The answer is...
coming up right after this quick break. Now back to Who's Smarted. Smarty Pants, have you ever wondered why some of the events you see at the Olympics are even in the Olympics? Me too. So, Atlas, what was the thinking behind early Olympic events, like the discus toss? Or the javelin?
Each event was intended to train men for war, which is probably why the original Olympics only included men.
But doesn't quite explain why they were naked. Anyway, please continue.
The most brutal early Olympic event was called Pankration.
I've never heard of that. Have you, Smarty Pants?
Pankration was a combination of wrestling and boxing, where neck holds and strangling were permitted, and only biting and eye gouging were forbidden.
Ow! So basically, fighting?
Pretty much. Athletes could resign by waving a finger in the contact sports, but wasn't uncommon for athletes to get badly injured or even...
Yikes! That's crazy! Thankfully, the rules have changed a lot for today's Olympics.
Indeed. Today's Olympics are different in nearly every way.
Oh, like wearing clothes, for starters.
Yes, that's definitely a biggie, but also the number of events. Today, there are roughly 309 events in the Summer Olympics and 109 events in the Winter Olympics.
Wow, the games sure have expanded. They've stretched into something bigger than any of the ancient Greeks could have ever imagined, I'm sure.
Yes, and speaking of stretching, it's time for some pre-workout stretches.
Hold on, we're still smarting here. We've all seen the Olympic rings. What do those Olympic rings mean? Smarty Pants, true or false? The five Olympic rings represent the five human senses. Did you say false? That's right, Smarty Pants. So, Atlas, what is the true meaning behind the symbol of the Olympics? The Olympic rings.
The five rings that symbolize the Olympics are meant to represent the union of five competing continents and the meeting of athletes from throughout the world at the Olympic Games.
Ah, that makes sense. But wait, Smarty Pants, what's wrong with that statement? Did you just say there are seven continents? That's right, Smarty Pants. Nice job if you caught that. So, what gives, Atlas?
Well, for starters, North America and South America are counted as one continent, the Americas in the Olympic symbol. And there's a 0% chance someone is going to compete in the Olympics from Antarctica.
Right. Unless they start letting penguins compete.
Good one, Trusty.
Thanks.
Okay. And if that's the last of your Olympics questions, it's time for your workout. We'll start with another 6 laps around the track.
6? But wait, I'm sure I can think of some more Olympic questions to ask.
Actually, I don't have time. My next client is here for her workout. Ah, Medusa, you look lovely today. I mean, I can't really look at you, but you sound terrific.
Medusa? Oh boy, Smarty Pants, run! A big shout out to our smarty friend, Jesse, in Alba, Missouri. We're so glad you love listening to Who Smarted and learning all kinds of cool stuff. Keep on smarting on, Jesse. This episode, The Olympics, was written by James Bronze Butler and voiced by Chris Karate Okawa and Jerry Kolber. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Handball Hahn. Who Smarted is recorded and mixed at the Relic Room Studios. Our associate producer is Max Curling Kamaski. The theme song is by Brian Swimming Suarez, with lyrics written and performed by Adam Table Tennis Davis. Who Smarted was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Kolber, who loves the Olympics. This has been an Atomic Entertainment production.
Who Smarted? ICANN is sponsored by Oregon Association for Talented and Gifted, a grassroots nonprofit statewide membership organization dedicated to equity and excellence in education. OTEG advocates for the needs of our talented and gifted students and serves as a resource for families, educators, and communities. You can learn more at oatag.org.